We are back. Feels good to be back.
All right.
Okay.
LFG.
You ready?
Are we allowed to curse on this?
LFG, people, well, they'll figure it out on their own.
But are we allowed to curse?
Not the big guns. Welcome to our new show, The Heart of the Rivalry.
When are we going
to
start?
We're starting. Toledo, Ohio, home to four very closely connected fan bases that are rivals. Is that the premise?
Yeah. I mean, we're on the Mason-Dixon line of college football. I mean, is there a better place in America to be than Toledo, Ohio? I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, best rivalry in the sport. Can't debate that. BG Toledo, the second best rivalry in college football. You can't debate that.
Once you drop
best rivalry in the MAC, but I mean, is there? If you were looking for the soul of college football, is there a better place than Toledo, Ohio?
I
mean,
border town. It's a classic border town.
You got the heart of mid-major. I mean, football, the heart of big time football. It's beautiful.
Big time football, people are going to put as the Big Ten and the SEC.
And Toledo and BG can play big time football. I'm not saying
wait
that.
A minute. But all fans, all football fans, they love their MACtion.
Absolutely.
And in the MACtion, it's UT-BGSU. Is that right?
Best rivalry in the MAC.
So the heart of the rivalry, we're going to bring you Ohio State, Michigan, UT-BG, and everything that's important to those programs in college football. Is that right? Do I have it right?
I think you do, Phil. I think we're just going to celebrate our unique place in the college football ecosystem. There's no place like home.
So why don't you tell us why people should listen to you, David Briggs, esteemed Toledo Blade columnist?
Well, I mean, come on. We know more about college football than between you and me and the rotating cast of guests we will have on. I mean, think of the brain power. I mean, we'll be able to solve all of college football's issues.
Between you and then whatever else would be here. Drawing on the limitless power of David Briggs.
No, we're just going to try to have fun, talk about our local teams, and especially as the rivalries, as the collision course comes down the tracks, we'll dive more into the specific games. But I got to say, I mean, this year is as exciting as ever. I mean, I picked probably my famous last words, but I said Toledo and Bowling Green will meet in the MAC championship game for the first time this season. That would be awesome. Miami is another team in the mix. BG hosts them in the finale, Black Friday finale. So that should be an awesome, huge game of the doit. So I think this is the year. That's why we're starting the podcast this year. This is the first year BG Toledo will play in the MAC title game. And I mean, Ohio State, Michigan, I mean, come on. We're expecting Michigan to take a little bit of a dip this year. Maybe not. I think I had them ranked number 10 in the preseason poll. And that's either way too high or way too low. Way too high because they're replacing 16 starters, lost 13 guys to the NFL.
And Connor Stallions.
Lose Harbaugh, lose Connor Stallions.
Tough break.
Lose pretty much all their top assistants except Sherrone Moore. So we'll see. Or it could be way too low because they still have a lot of talent. And then Ohio State. I mean, the hype around them is insane. Is Urban Meyer trolling Ryan Day by saying this is the greatest team he's ever seen? Maybe the best roster in college football in the last 10 years? Or is he, I don't know. It's interesting to put that kind of pressure on. I know he's not trolling him, but that's a little much, huh?
Without it being an insult or illegal, it's the best team money can buy in college football this year.
Yeah.
But there's never been anybody with a more successful program that unfortunately is more on the hot seat than Ryan Day. Yeah. He basically has to win them all or come close.
Absolutely. No, it's a fascinating year. I mean, Ryan Day is, I believe, 56-8. one loss the last two seasons in the regular season of Michigan. Just think about this. I mean, Ryan Day in 2022, you could have changed one of maybe 15 plays in the Georgia semifinal game. And Ohio State wins that game, then beats TCU, wins the national title. Change a player.
Assuming they could beat TCU.
Change a player two in the Michigan game last year. They beat Michigan, and maybe they win the national title because Michigan wins the national title. So Ryan Day has had one of the two or three or four best teams in college football the last 3 years. Pretty much his entire tenure at Ohio State, 5 years. And yet he is still on the hot seat. That tells you the power of the rivalry, because if you don't win that one game,
if he is ostensibly one or two plays away in each season, and let's say that happens again, is that the football gods or is that Ryan Day?
Well, I mean, if it happens again this season, it's Ryan Day. If you can't beat a Michigan team that replaces 16 starters and loses Jim Harbaugh and loses everybody at home, that'll be a big problem unless you go on to at least play in the national title game or maybe even win the national title. If you lose to Michigan again, I mean, it's hard to imagine Columbus still standing after that. But it's interesting. I mean, all the pressure Ryan Day and, or all the pressure Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel have placed on Ryan Day with just saying this roster is unlike anything they've ever seen. Ryan Day has kind of done the same thing. Before the season, he said, you know, there's no excuse that it comes down to a player two there. That's our fault. We've just got to leave no doubt. We've got to dominate. We've got to beat Michigan by 2 touchdowns. And it's easier said than done when you're playing some of the best teams in the country. But it's just goes to show that this is a very unique year.
What did you think after this first week? Almost nothing to tell from Ohio State Akron, or no? Is there something to tell?
I don't know. It's always hard to... I don't think Ohio State was particularly up for Akron, and I don't know if they will be the first 3 weeks. I mean, it's kind of a – Ohio State always plays that kind of marquee game, and this year they're opening with Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, then Michigan State. They'll be probably 4 touchdown favorites in all of those, and again this week a gazillion point favorite. So it's hard to say. It was a little concerning for Ohio State fans the first half against one of the worst teams in the MAC. Sorry, Kent State. So second worst team. Ohio State did not.
Kicking the rust off, it looked like.
Well, I mean, the big concern is the offensive line, and I think I compared it to, like, imagine building a $20 million oceanfront mansion, like, on the eroding edge of a cliff. Like, it doesn't matter if you have the yacht, which is the best receivers in the country, or the huge movie theater in your basement, which is the best defensive backs in the country, or all the bells and whistles.
The amenities.
All the talent in the world. If it's on a flawed foundation, and that is the offensive line. I mean, championship teams have a great offensive line, and you look at the Missouri game that last year in the Cotton Bowl, that was a pretty ugly for Ohio State. The line was terrible.
I'd actually already purged it from my memory. had to bring it up for me to remember it existed.
The line was terrible. And so you would have thought all offseason the question is the line going to progress? What are they going to be like? That's the question mark. We think they're good, but can they be good enough? And they come out, and it's just kind of blah. I mean, the first half, they're struggling to move bodies against Akron. They're missing their lineman, Donovan Jackson. But even with the backups, you would think, like, the backup Ohio State offensive line would be able to blow Akron's defensive line into the next county. And that just wasn't happening. It was pretty even. And I think Ohio State rushed for 170 yards on 33 carries, which is fine against
that. Seems like high average, but there really wasn't an explosive play.
Yeah, which is fine against a good team. But then you realize, like, the teams in the MAC will obliterate Akron just like they did last year. Northern Illinois rushed for 380 yards on 35 carries. That's the kind of production you would expect against an Akron. But again, it's just the first game. A lot of positives as well. I thought Will Howard looked pretty solid. All Ohio State needs him to be is a game manager this year. I do think he'll be an upgrade over Kyle McCord. Just a little more dynamic, more mobile.
We're back at it going game one by game one. Michigan is in a tight contest against Fresno State. Fresno State's driving. Yeah. They get a pick six. Michigan gets a pick six at the end, makes that score look a little different. Is there any reason for excess concern in Ann Arbor after that performance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you've got to panic. That's the season Good. Pretty much over after that. I mean, it's going to be ugly in Ann Arbor this weekend. No, it's the opener. I didn't get to see much of it. I was driving home from Columbus. I did catch some of it, certainly followed, read about it. Again, their offensive line, a little bit of concern, 5 new starters, but you would expect Sherrone Moore. He's the offensive line guru, so that's you figure they'll get it figured out there. I think the quarterback is the big concern there. Davis Warren, the guy who won the job, what an amazing story. I mean, he battled leukemia in high school, from California, battled leukemia in high school, walked on to Michigan, and wins the job. This year in his fourth season. But I just don't know if he's dynamic enough. And you wondered if the timing of Harbaugh's exit is kind of the gift that keeps on giving for Michigan, because you would have liked to see Michigan grab a guy in the portal, a guy who maybe is just ready to go and can offset the growing pains with the offensive line and can kind of turn the key and go. or at least a guy to push the guys Michigan already had, Alex Orji, who we thought was going to be the starter, and Davis Warren. So a little bit of a concern there, but again, we'll see. The big game is Saturday. That'll be the measuring stick.
Well, Harbaugh did sort of technically get that because he's got Justin Herbert. So yeah. He's got a turnkey quarterback.
That's where true. He Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't, no sweat off his back. Who cares?
What about you? Let's take UT and BG together.
But I think there's just something to be said for taking care of business against an FCS school. Obviously, you expect these games to be a win by 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. FCS teams have 63 scholarships. Teams like Toledo BG have 85, a lot of other advantages. So you just want them to just kind of get their feet wet, look good. Wasn't long ago that, you know, BG and their forever rebuild was struggling to beat these FCS teams, sometimes lost to them. So just taking care of business. I thought their two quarterbacks, Connor Bazelak for BG, looked very good. Offensive line for BG looked awesome. And in Toledo, Tucker Gleason replacing Daquan Finn. Thought he looked really good. I don't want to make any bold predictions, but I don't think Toledo's going to have a drop-off at quarterback. It's kind of crazy to say with Daquan Finn transferring to Baylor and won MAC Player of the Year last year. But I think Tucker Gleason adds a unique wrinkle, and he'll be solid.
You can't plan on this kind of thing, but you know, for all of college football fans, one of the most exciting plays to kick off the season was Bowling Green 100-yard kickoff return. That's got to be one of the most exciting plays of the entire. I know it's not technically week zero, but week one. Did you watch that play? Of course you did.
Oh, I saw it. I was in the Glass Bowl press box, but everyone was like, holy smokes. Yeah, 100 yards. I mean, look at all the people on Twitter who are talking about it, or X, sorry. Even LeBron James is talking about Bowling Green football. And I think it's Scott Van Pelt led off SportsCenter with it. He leads off each week with the best thing I saw today. And what better to start the season with a 100-yard kickoff return, a minute and a half from Bowling Green, leading off SportsCenter, and it ends with the Iziggy Zumba singing in the locker room, and it just makes it, what an awesome light for the MAC, awesome light for Bowling Green, makes Bowling Green look like a pretty cool place to be, which it is, just like Toledo. So, but talk about a good recruiting pitch.
So we're going to do what we call our halftime segment. We all know halftime is when the band trots out and we get to be entertained. Dave, what's interesting in college football this week?
Well, one interesting thing is Toledo is hosting UMass, though UMass is not yet a member of the MAC. I just had an interesting conversation with UMass's AD, Ryan Bamford. If he did not answer my call, I would not have blamed him. I have not been very kind to the folks from the Bay State. As you may have heard, UMass is joining the MAC beginning next year in all sports. Previously, UMAC was a football-only member in 2012 to 2015. Then they got booted from the MAC when they refused to join it as a full member, meaning, you know, all the other sports, basketball and whatnot. UMass finally gave in and is going to join as an all-sports member next year. And
Baseball, softball,
basketball. And basketball will be kind of cool. I mean, we grew up in we love college basketball in the 90s. I mean, what program was hotter than UMass? I mean, Marcus Camby, John Calipari, vacated Final Fours.
Dr. J, if you want to take it even further back.
Yeah, I mean, talk about incredible alums there.
Lineage.
Yeah. I guess I have been very critical of it from a little bit from the MAC's perspective. It's a little confusing that this doesn't fit in the geographic footprint. I do think it's exciting for men's basketball, but that's about it. Football doesn't really make any sense. I've been more critical of it from UMass's perspective. Like, what are we doing? UMass's basketball program hasn't been great recently, but it's a very proud program. It's a national brand. It's a
historically recognizable.
It's a name brand in a basketball conference, the Atlantic 10. They get multiple bids every year. It's a conference that makes sense for their other sports. It's concentrated on the East Coast. And you're giving that up to come out to DeKalb, Illinois, and Muncie, and dragging all your sports out here to a lesser basketball league, all in the name of chasing football success. It just truly, it's hard to think of a case of feels more like throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because And it just seems like everything that's wrong with college sports, we're just the blinding pursuit of football glory leaves everything else, every other sport, just the geography, the rivalry, sanity, everything is collateral damage for football. And for what? Their football is terrible. Like since they made the leap from FCS to FBS in 2012, they have won 24 freaking games in 12 plus seasons. So that's less than 2 wins a year. And they were terrible in the MAC the first go around when they had a league to park their football car. And then they've been awful since then. I think since they left the MAC, they've won an 11 against MAC teams. I know UMass might now make me eat my words on Saturday at the Glass Bowl, and this maybe this will be a great game, but it's just confusing to me. I don't know. Am I crazy here?
If they've won that few games, especially against the MAC, the answer to all of your questions must be revenue. It's just driving the bus for the other non-revenue sports.
A little bit, but I mean, these schools just kind of throwing good money after bad. I mean, the MAC TV deal with ESPN is nominal, maybe $1 million a year per school. They obviously want access to the playoff, college football playoff, and you need to be in a conference for that. I understand that. And you're going to get a couple $1 million in revenue from that. But money at the MAC level, I mean, football is a big money loser. Even it is the biggest revenue driver, but at the end of the day, you're losing money. So their play is they think this is going to enhance the profile of the school, and maybe it will. I mean, they do have.
It's getting talked about on the Heart of the Rivalry. It's getting a little bump.
Yeah, I know. We're
getting the HOTR bump.
We're playing into it here.
That's right.
It's just, I don't know. It's just all the realignment is just frustrating. And as a college football fan, I mean, even USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon joining the Big Ten, it's really cool. The novelty of it is awesome. But in the end, like, what are we doing? Like, Ohio State's volleyball team is now going to have to go out to UCLA just for all this football. It's just, I don't know. It's great. I'm just, you know.
That is crazy, and maybe a little bit more for the second show when we dive into the socioeconomic ramifications of the current college football landscape.
But by the way, did you know UMass is one of the best universities in the country? I knew it was a good school. I didn't realize, like, how awesome they are academically.
I
couldn't get in there. It's a public university. I definitely couldn't get in there. I could not get into Ohio State now. I don't think. Could you? We both went to Ohio State.
I don't know if I could.
I like that our degrees are going up in value. But
my degrees from two esteemed Big Ten schools. That's right.
That's right.
Doubled up. So I've got Northwestern and their quaint little stadium on the lake. It's so cute.
Yeah.
How are they going to go inland now?
That's awesome. I love
it. It is kind of awesome.
Probably about the same size as UMass's stadium, not to drag on UMass. But UMass is the number 32 public university in the country, according to U.S. News and World Report. And I think it will not only be the highest rated academic school in the MAC, it would be the highest rated academic school in 7 of the 10 7 of the 10 FBS conferences. So
That's why we're bringing him in for the Ivy League Bowl, for the debate bowl.
Miami calls itself the public Ivy. Buffalo's a good school. I mean, is there a better academic conference than the MAC? I mean, come on.
Oh, wow. Wow. The MAC knows no bounds.
I know.
All right, David, that's been a great halftime segment. We come back, we're going to do a little scouting.
All right.
Okay, so now we're going to do a little scouting segment where we're going to have one thing to look for each of our teams in their upcoming game.
BG going to Happy Valley, play at Penn State. On paper, you would think this BG does not have a chance, but how many times have we said BG doesn't have a chance in the Scott Loeffler era, and they've pulled just a ridiculous upset? A few years ago, they were 30-plus point underdog at Minnesota. BG wins. Last year, almost as big of an underdog at Georgia Tech. BG wins. I don't see it happening this time, but BG gave Michigan its toughest game last year until the final weeks of the regular season for Michigan. So I think BG will come to play, maybe keep it close for half, but just the way BG gets up for these games will be something to watch.
Maybe they have the special teams advantage already,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a couple 3 pick sixes, a fumble return. Yeah, 3 pick six, 2 fumble returns, and you'll be right there.
So you mentioned BG gave Michigan their toughest game until they got later in the season. What should we look for in Michigan's game this week?
big noon show down in Ann Arbor. It's hard to get a bigger measuring stick game for Michigan than this. I don't know. Again, on paper, this looks like Texas could roll. I think the line started at 3. It's been bet up to about 7.5. Everybody's on Texas. Texas returns 15 starters from a playoff team. Michigan returns almost nobody. Texas has the huge edge at quarterback in Quinn Ewers, the mulleted old Ohio State transfer. I don't think he has his mullet anymore.
The mullet, the power is gone.
He's as good as it gets in quarterback in college football. So even if the talent was just even across the board and you had this Texas's quarterback versus Michigan's quarterbacks, I would pick Texas. But I think Texas has the edge in a lot of spots. So I think I would pick Texas to win by about 10. But hard to say. I mean, Michigan's defense is still loaded, so we'll see.
Okay, so what are we looking for from the University of Toledo Rockets this week?
Can they hold off Dr. Blitz, Don Brown? He's the Toledo breaking in an all-new offensive line as well. Crazy stat, Toledo's the only school in the country that does not feature a single player who has started an FBS game with their offensive linemen. So, and then you're going up a guy who just dials up all sorts of crazy exotic blitzes. Didn't usually work against Ohio State. Maybe it will work a little bit better against Toledo on Saturday, but a new look offensive line going up against Dr. Blitz at UMass. That's what I'm looking for.
The Ohio State Buckeyes. What are you looking for in their second game of the season?
Western Michigan. Did you see any of the Western Michigan Wisconsin game?
I did not. That was good. Inform me.
Western Michigan took it down to the wire in a special teams blunder, kind of gave it to Wisconsin. But again, probably the same thing. Can Ohio State just look better? I mean, it just kind of all looked clunky early on. Can we see the, you know, this is supposed to be the best team in the country, or most talented team in the country, the greatest roster ever. Can they just look good and win 100-0? I know it's not going to happen, but the thing I'm looking most
triple
for
digits.
If you just get triple digits, it's fine.
No big deal.
But if you would, the line taking another beating this week, you would just expect them, hope for their sake that they can just come out and dominate and show maybe it's not as much of a question mark as we may think.
Has there been a significant upset in the first 2 weeks of college football? There really hasn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, Florida State is
losing to Boston College and the way they looked.
Georgia probably Tech and Boston College, Florida State being, it should have been a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
Just completely, napalming their season in the first couple of weeks. I don't know. Is Florida State a total fluke? I mean,
they had a different team. I don't think you can make that judgment, especially when, you know, the quarterback is just the single most important position in football.
Yeah.
And if you have a change where you experience a significant drop off or change in style of play, it can affect your whole team. So that's tough. Any of our rivalries on upset alert? I guess the closest one would be
our rivalries?
Anybody in ours?
Can Michigan upset Texas?
I guess that would be the one to watch.
I mean, that's probably going to be the best game. Toledo, a big favorite over UMass. BG's big underdog against Penn State. Toledo, or Ohio State, a big favorite over Western Michigan. I'll be in Ann Arbor. Should be exciting.
Love to see BGSU pull out the Penn State win.
Yeah, again, just 5 or 6 turnovers, and they'll be right there.
Okay, that's been our scouting report, and that takes us to the end of this initial episode of The Heart of the Rivalry.
We're going to kind of be like Ohio State and Michigan. Bo Schembechler always used to say the most improvement comes between week 1 and 2. It's going to be the same with our show. We're just kind of throwing together a little bit today, but we're going to get the swing of things. We're going to have guests. We're going to have props. We're going to be wearing funny hats. It's going to be great. So stick with us. It's going to be a fun year. And it's going to be a fun Saturday.
He's David Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. Thank you for listening and watching A Heart of the Rivalry. We'll see you next week.